Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Patanjali Foods Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Asthana, Chief Executive Officer, Patanjali Foods Limited, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good morning and season's greeting to all the participants on this call. Thank you for joining us today for Patanjali Foods' earnings call for Q2 FY24. On behalf of Patanjali Foods Limited, I extend a warm welcome to everyone for joining us today on this call. I am joined by the company's CFO, Mr. Kumar Rajesh, Chintan Kotak, who's the investor relations head for us, and our investor relations advisors, Strategic Growth Advisors. We have uploaded the financial results and investor presentation on the stock exchanges as well as on the company's website for your reference. Before I delve into our company's performance, I would like to take a moment to talk about the contours of the market and some recent developments that impacted us and the industry during this period. Following the footsteps of the previous quarter, food inflation continued to persist in the last quarter as well. Macroeconomic factors, environmental and geopolitical tension, and conflicts acted as stress points, causing an overall subdued consumer demand. The quarter witnessed erratic rainfall throughout the country, affecting rural sentiment. Rural demand, which forms a substantial portion of the overall demand for FMCG products, saw some green shoots toward the end of Q1. However, in Q2, it was affected by persistent inflation. Further, the delayed festival season affected the overall demand in Q2. Commodity pricing also had an impact on the overall inflation in the country. Despite a decline in commodity prices on a year-over-year basis, it is important to note that the overall input cost table remains at an elevated level. Additionally, we have observed a sequential increase in prices, especially in staples. In edible oil business, the industry faced multiple headwinds, leading to muted performances, primarily due to divergence between prevailing physical market prices and future prices during this quarter, echoing our experience in the previous quarter. However, I'm pleased to report that the price divergence in Q2 showed significant improvement compared to the situation we encountered in Q1. We are also very excited to share with you that we recently have signed world-renowned cricketer Mr. M.S. Dhoni as a brand ambassador for branding and marketing campaigns for our Mahakosh and Sunrich brands. Patanjali edible oils, especially the soya, sun, and mustard oil, are highly appreciated by the consumers. To further enhance the penetration and acceptance of these products, we have onboarded Mr. Mahendra Singh Dhoni as a brand ambassador. Mr. Dhoni and Patanjali share common values and both enjoy popularity and credibility with the public at large. His commitment to good health and the importance of healthy eating for a better lifestyle resonates with the products offered by Patanjali. We believe that this association will give a boost to our wide range of edible oils. Coming to our financial and operating performance, in spite of a challenging backdrop, we delivered a decent performance in both our top line and bottom line for Q2 financial year 24. This growth was led by our food and FMCG segment. We continue to deliver on a promise and showcased strong growth in the food and FMCG segment with the help of an expanding product portfolio. In Q2 financial year 24, food and FMCG contributed 31.8% of our revenue from operations, which is higher by nearly 66 basis points on a sequential basis. For first half 2024, the segment revenue totaled 4,440 crores, contributing to 28.5% of revenue from operations. our tactical shift of increasing the contribution of the high-margin food and FMCG segment to total revenue is working well for us, and we expect the thrust of demand to continue. The EBITDA of this segment is 15.25% for Q2 FY24 and 16.67% for the full half in financial year 24. Our extensive range of products caters to a diverse array of customer types and preferences, and the majority of these offerings are experiencing a significant surge in the momentum. Breaking that down, Nutrela is one of our strongest brands, evolving as an umbrella FMCG brand for us. I'm happy to share that our Nutrela TSP has once again broken our record for highest ever quarterly sales of 8,772 metric tons, which is 11% up from the same quarter last year. Our retail outlet expansion expanded to 3.06 lakh retail points with a 9% quarter-on-quarter growth. Our biscuits portfolio continues to maintain strong momentum with 20% year-on-year growth in Q2 FY24 and 28% year-on-year growth in the full half itself of FY24. Our marquee brands such as Root Biscuit grew by 28% year-on-year, and Nariyal Cookies reported growth of 68% year-on-year during Q2. This is backed by our strong distribution system and continuous expansion in distribution, where our direct retail coverage has reached almost 1 million outlets now. Under Nutraceuticals, we have launched new packaging and flavors launched in sports nutrition, and the division has grown in the high teens. We've also improved our retail coverage, registering to 1.47 lakh retailers by September 23. Additionally, our distributor network has expanded to include 851 active distributors. These strategic moves enhance our presence and accessibility in the marketplace. In the previous quarter, we had introduced multiple new products as part of our strategic premiumization initiatives. These included a new range of biscuits, including 7-grain, ragi, and digestive biscuits that have been well received in the market. Expanding its reach, the company successfully launched Nutrela Max Millet Ragi Choco in West Bengal market, following its successful debut in the southern markets. Nutrela Max Max, which are available nationwide through e-commerce platform, will be further reaching every corner of India through our network of Patanjali stores. We have strong confidence that the dried fruit category is poised for significant expansion as we broaden our range with the new offerings and flavors. Our growth during the said period was primarily fueled by customer-friendly products and pricing, strong operational execution, and the sustained momentum in our distribution strength. Our FMCG products epitomize the perfect fusion of health consciousness and unparalleled taste, upholding the core values that define the Patanjali brand. It enables us to strategically position ourselves in the market, appealing not only to the masses, but also effectively targeting a lucrative niche premium segment. We are committed to becoming a market leader in this space with comprehensive offerings to cater to choices to our customers, to our consumers. Now coming to the performance of our edible oil segment. In the Q2 FY24, the edible oil segment had a revenue of 5,421 crores, registering a sequential degrowth due to further falling the prices in Q2. However, the volume has increased by 3% in Q2 FY24 and by 11% year-on-year in first half FY24. Our premium oil segment has demonstrated remarkable growth with a year-on-year growth of 49%, which reflects the positive response and demand for our premium oil products in the market. Our branded sales segment maintains its strong performance, consistently contributing over 75% of our total sales value. In Q2 of FY24, the edible oil segment recorded a negative EBITDA of 27 crores against INR of 435 crores in Q2 of FY23 and 97.8 crores in Q1 of FY24. Let me take a minute here to provide you with an update on our oil hedges, which affected our performance in this quarter. The oil hedges have once again shown a divergence from prevailing physical market prices in this quarter, mirroring our experience in the previous quarter. However, the price divergence in Q2 narrowed in comparison to Q1. In specific terms, the price divergence in Q2 for palm oil was approximately 3%, a significant reduction from 19% that we experienced in the previous quarter. Likewise, for soya oil, the price divergence in Q2 was 8%, considerably better than the 25% observed in Q1. This quarter exhibited a more favorable level of convergence compared to the previous one. This misalignment in hedges persisted until August in the current financial year, current fiscal year. While operating in the Indian market, our options for hedging are limited to the BND in Kuala Lumpur and CBOT in Chicago due to the absence of local hedging mechanism. Unfortunately, our hedging strategies across various commodity exchanges did not align with the dynamics of the local market for physical trading. Consequently, the hedges incurred losses, which were not fully offset by gains from physical trades. This phenomenon is truly exceptional and unprecedented in the world of agribusiness. In risk management, it is indeed rare and extraordinary for us to proactively mitigate our exposure only to witness an unfavorable outcome. Given the current landscape characterized by divergent price movements, it is essential to acknowledge that hedging is not the best feasible option, but it's only available option right now. However, even though current market landscape shows divergence, the past trend indicates that the convergence between futures and physical markets is narrowing rapidly, and the trend of normalization is already very visible as we go into the quarter three. And we are already seeing that this change occurring. Allow me to provide you with an overview of our risk management strategies, which are integral to our operations. These strategies are carefully designed to both navigate opportunities and mitigate risks in our ever-evolving market landscape. First and foremost, we actively engage in contra positions on global exchanges, leveraging our expertise and technical indicators to make informed decisions about the timing of our moves. This approach allows us to seize opportunities while prudently managing risk. To maintain agility and responsiveness, we continuously churn our physical positions through selling in the marketplace. In line with our commitment to efficient risk management, we strategically place positions with lower rate purchases. We have carefully reduced our hedge ratios, considering the divergent price movements between the physical and futures market. Our hedge ratio, for example, has decreased from 38% at the end of June to nearly 25% by end of September, reflecting our proactive approach to risk management and our responsiveness to market changes. To ensure our strategies remain aligned with the market's ever-evolving dynamics, we continue to hold regular meetings of our risk management committee. These meetings serve as a platform for refining our risk management strategies and optimizing our response to market dynamics. To counter this vulnerability, we have strategically diversified our operations and, along with government initiatives of making India Atmanirbhar for edible oil, entered the palm plantation business. This decision aligns with our commitment to strengthen our presence in the edible oil sector, which actively mitigating risks associated with price volatility. As part of this strategic move, here are some key highlights. We have successfully developed our 4,500 hectares of palm plantation across India in this quarter, significantly expanding our footprint in the sector. During the last quarter, we imported 15 lakh seed sprouts, which signifies our dedication to scaling up our oil palm plantation efforts. We actively participated in the Mega Oil Palm Plantation Drive conducted in 7 states as part of the Government of India's initiative, underlying our strong partnership with government affairs. We have signed memorandum of agreement with the Department of Horticulture in Andhra Pradesh, securing the allotment of 13 new mandals in 3 districts, further strengthening our presence and commitment to growth. In line with our expansion strategy, we have established 8 nurseries across 5 states, providing us with a solid foundation for future growth. Our growth trajectory for coming quarters is expected to be primarily driven by volume as we anticipate favorable market conditions. Festival demand trends that we are seeing on ground are encouraging. Further, the demand in the current quarter will be fueled by onset of wedding season. These trends are expected to have a positive impact on both segments of our business. Additionally, the demand for some of our products such as Chyawanprash, honey and premium rye fruits will be boosted during the winter months. With all these updates, I would like to summarize our overall financial performance. Our revenue from operations in Q2 FY24 clocked at INR 7821.9 crores with a growth of 0.71% Q1Q and negative 8.13% on a yearly basis, half-year basis. The total income recorded is 7845.8 crores. The EBITDA for Q2 of FY24 increased by 97.75% on quarter-on-quarter basis and stood at 419.20 crores, while EBITDA margins improved to 5.34% versus 2.7% in Q1 of FY24 and 2.41% in Q2 of FY23. The PAT for the quarter was 254.54 crores versus 112.29 crores in Q2 of FY23, and the PAT margins improved to 3.24% from 1.12% in Q1 of FY24 and 1.32% in Q2 of FY23. We continue to export to 23 countries with a value of 41.65 crores. In the first half of FY24, the numbers stack up as follows. Our revenue from operations are INR 15,588.9 crores. The total income recorded is 15,656.3 crores. Our EBITDA declined from 755.9 crores in the previous year to 631.2 crores. The EBITDA of last year included the preference share income of 149 crores as well, just by way of record. Our PAT recorded at INR 342.3 crores. With this, I conclude the call. Thank you all for your patience. If you have any further queries, please contact SGA, our investor relations advisor. I'm very happy to field your questions now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may press star and one to ask questions. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on the hedging losses impact. So we have seen past few quarters for both you and the number one player in edible oils. There has been a big impact. My question is, what is the impact on the local, regional players, smaller players, unlisted players in the edible oil? From a hedging losses perspective, how have they managed? Do they have the same kind of very strong hedging policy, which has not worked for you and the number one player? But do they have such things? So if they don't have, has that helped them in the business, because then they would not have those losses? So if you could comment on their hedging policies and in terms of real market share, I'm not referring to the Nielsen market share, in terms of your own gut feel, in terms of how they have done in terms of the volume growth, that will be very helpful.
No, that's a very good question. So the two sides. One is that several of these smaller players do their hedging pretty much in the similar exchanges. So I would not like to comment in terms of the caliber and the quality of sort of policies that they have. But in general, the impact across the board would be pretty much same for all the players. The difference is that, the distribution reach which the players have, and also the brand loyalty which the customers display, and whether willing to pay a premium for the products that are being offered by company A versus company B. So from an impact perspective, to answer your question, it's pretty straightforward that they are subjected to pretty much the same market dynamics, where most of the edible oil prices which are imported are pretty much working on the pass-through basis. And thereafter, the change happens in terms of the efficiency of operations, the cost of manufacturing, the brand loyalty, the distribution, etc. And that's where the differentiation comes in. So if you were to compare, let's say, a larger player, and the one you referred to also, and people like us, they would tend to be more proactive in how they manage the pricing, the working capital cycles, the distribution, etc. And which I would imagine for the smaller players, while they may have the benefit of being more nimble and smaller, but typically the macroeconomic forces would tend to impact everyone pretty much in the same way. So, and what is also one trend we are witnessing right now, that as you can notice that the volume growth year-on-year basis for the larger players is tending to favor them more on account of the volatility in the market, on account of the working capital that is required, versus the smaller players. So I would imagine that some part of share loss is happening in very small players and mid-sized players as well, who are finding it exceedingly difficult in last 1 year to deal with the market volatility.
Sure, that's helpful. My second and last question is on the downtrading, which is being felt across many FMCG categories. So if you could comment how you are able to meet that, and is that a big concern? Because edible oil, clearly customers play between quite a few brands, so whichever has a promotion from the modern trade, e-commerce, or say lower pricing in the general trade also, they do shift there. So your thoughts on how the industry is grappling, because this is a very common trend across many FMCG. And related to that, in terms of Dhoni as brand ambassador, would you increase your overall mass media advertising also? I understand Dhoni himself will charge, but the bigger question is, in terms of mass media second age, will there be a sharp ramp up next 1-2 years?
So in terms of, to answer the last part of your question first, yes, absolutely. We will ramp up our advertising both at ATL and BTL levels. We are increasing our distribution reach. We are adding a lot of traction with with new SKUs that we are offering to the consumers. So this part definitely will remain. In terms of the switching of loyalties between between different brands by the consumers, I think that is pretty much it's very much common across the board. And the only part I will say, the difference is that where the traction is very strong with the brand. So especially the core loyal base of customers who typically would comprise about between 75% to 80% would tend to stay with the brand. And the 20% who are switching between the brands owing to various reasons, if not the pricing factor or whatever, the affordability or otherwise, would tend to switch. But I think 75% to 80% would tend to stay loyal with the company. So which is why we see that pretty much the branded part of our portfolio is pretty consistent as we are seeing in the numbers, and that number between 75% to 80% will always remain.
Sure, thanks. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Dheeraj Mistry from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats for a very good set of numbers. So can you help me with the revenue breakup of FMCG between foods, biscuits, nutraceutical and other businesses?
Yeah, sure, Dheeraj. And so basically in the food business, our revenues were 1,831 crores versus the previous quarter where we had 1,350 4 crores. So there's a sharp spike that we saw in the revenue numbers. Likewise, our biscuits and confectionery recorded a very handsome gain. We were 456 crores versus 381 crores in the previous quarter. In the Nutrela, which is our core protein-based businesses, our premium brand, our revenues were 187 crores versus in the previous quarter of 155. And in the nutraceuticals, our revenue was 15 crores versus 62 crores in the previous quarter. So there's a decline of about 21% that we saw, and I will explain the reasons for that as well.
Yeah. So what we have seen is that there's a massive growth in foods business. So earlier, before this quarter, we were clocking a run rate of somewhere around 2,000 rupees per quarter for our foods business. And this quarter, it is more of a 2,400 kind of a run rate. So what would be the steady state quarterly FMCG run rate in terms of revenue, what we can expect going ahead?
So we maintained pretty much the same level, and and I'll explain the big jump that we saw, the reasons for that. It's pretty much, we have said that 15% growth is what we anticipate in our FMCG space, and we will maintain that growth momentum as we go forward. So in the overall, on an overall basis, now some segments are faster as I just mentioned, that biscuits and confectionery grew at 20%. excuse me, Nutella is picking up momentum now with the added new categories. So that is new product lines that we've introduced. That's at 19%. And the food is also gaining momentum. So many a times in certain quarters, because of these staples, the nature of our business, some parts of these staples also tend to have a sudden pickup in the demand. So that helps in growth. But overall, our projection is that we should maintain regular run rate on an overall basis of 15% quarter on quarter, year on year.
Okay. And second question is on margin, like 14.8% or let's say 15% EBITDA margin is quite commendable. But this is still lower than our long-term average or sustainable average of 18% what we had earlier guided. Can you explain the reason for this 15% EBITDA margins versus 18% guidance?
Yeah, sure. So what happened was that during the quarter, our substantial amount of revenue came on account of the pickup in the staples demand owing to the festival season and the wedding season which is ensuing. And the staples typically tend to have a lower margin, which pushed us down on the margin construct. And that is one. Second is that on the nutraceutical side, we had some decline in the margin. So these are two reasons why the margin sort of was lower. If we take out the staples and, for at least the increased portion of the staples and normalize the nutraceuticals, your margin would be typically pretty much in the same range of 16 to 18%.
Okay. And, sir, my next question is regarding oil business. Now that on sequential basis, our EBITDA losses has reduced. But going ahead with now, although raw commodity price being slightly volatile as of now also, but can we expect that for the full year basis, we can expect EBITDA neutral business for all oil business where second half would come back to the positive trajectory?
While whether it will be EBITDA neutral or positive, I think the signs are healthy right now. So we are clearly seeing that way more reduced volatility. The domestic demand has picked up very well at the back of the festival season as well as the weddings. And I'm expecting that potentially it could not just be neutral, it could also be more positive. So we are wiser with the changes that we saw. We are proactive. And right now, even the macroeconomic numbers and the features of the commodity market at both the futures and the domestic level are showing a lot of promise. So I'm very optimistic that we should do a lot better in the edible oil category in this quarter and the next quarter.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. If I have any question, I will come back in it. Thank you.
You may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Akash Mehta from Capes Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning and thanks for the opportunity. My first question was on the nutraceutical range. So just want to get your outlook on that. Since we have introduced new products and we've also onboarded the new head for the department a few months ago. So how are we looking to grow this and what would be the target in the near term?
So nutraceuticals, basically it is sort of dealing with, two parts of complete rationalization of our portfolio and complete relook at the overall sort of distribution structure, the retail expansion, etc. So the market, has been less predictable, even though while we would like that it sequentially continues on the growth path. So, for example, some of the overhang in the earlier quarters sort of continued for two distinct quarters. We saw a very good pickup in the first quarter, which has declined in the Q2. And my anticipation is that as we rationalize and expand on our distribution, we bring in our new products and redesign the offering that we are giving, more contemporary, better structure, which is a learning for us too. And add newer products to the range. I'm expecting that nutraceutical overall should continue to get not only better, should also become one of the mainstays of our overall business, you know, in terms of the FMCG portfolio that we have. Now, whether, you know, it will happen in this quarter itself, I'm not able to sort of give a guidance on that. But overall, I'm optimistic for the full year. We should certainly be a lot better than what you're witnessing in this quarter. I'm still positive that it's going to be a high margin, you know, high growth category. It is just that we have to make sure that, and which we're working towards, that our offering, our, you know, the product sort of fine-tuning, the changing demand of the customers and what effort that we are doing are going to start fulfilling the, you know, the basic consumer aspiration and the company's offering as well. So that bit has, you know, it should have, ideally could have happened sooner, but I think we're going through that process of learning and rationalizing and regrouping ourselves in terms of how we offer it to the marketplace.
Okay, sir. That really helps. I think on the second question, just want to know for our biscuits and other neutral products, if you could just give me a geography-wise division, if that is available.
So geography-wise, in terms, so it's a, one is that it's pretty much universally sort of growing, and as I mentioned in my remarks, that growth has been you know, nothing short of spectacular. In how sort of we've gone about building that business at the back of distribution and high quality products that we have. So between the, you know, the regions, if I were to say, and precise numbers I can share with you in a separate call, but pretty much we would be evenly divided. So north would be the highest, followed by eastern part of the country, then the western part of the country, and then the south. So north share would be pretty much, if I were to add north and east, it would be about 65%, and the balance 35% would be between west and southern India. So two changes which are there. There were certain white spaces on distribution side that we are covering and expanding our reach further into the northeastern part of the country and southern part of the country. So which was still, in terms of the penetration, we believe there's a lot more opportunity that we have to expand our reach.
Okay, sir. Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Yug Mehta from EP Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. For Dragos, do we just pack what we are importing or do we also do some value addition like adding some flavors or creating trial mix? And also, what is our current capacity for Dragos and what is the outlook on the same?
Your voice is not very clear. If I understood right, you said for imported edible oils or, I mean, can you just be a little clear?
Mr.
Mehta, I would request you to kindly use your handset, please.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Okay.
It's better, yeah.
Yes. For dry fruits, do we just pack what we are importing or we do some value addition like adding flavors or creating a trial mix?
So that is part of the plan now. So as we go forward, right now what we are doing is that the almonds we are processing when we bring it into the country. And, you know, simply decorticating and putting it in the packs. And, but in terms of the flavors, the variants, etc., that we have not yet started. That is on cards. And you will see that hopefully by the year end, we will start offering our variants on the flavors and, you know, the spice the sort of offering that we will have. Currently, it is pretty much a straight offering that we have. And we'll also be adding to more products also. So in terms of dates and, you know, the more value-added, higher-end sort of dry fruits, that we'll start expanding on.
Yeah, and also, what is our current capacity for dry fruits and what is the outlook on the same?
So outlook is very positive. I've mentioned that before also, that it's a large category. India is one of the fastest expanding markets. The consumers are increasingly discerning, becoming more discerning and, you know, more oriented towards buying from better brands. There are a couple of successful examples which are there. Patanjali already is there in the dry food category and which are exceedingly well received. This range we've launched under Nutrella. And so our plans are large in terms of the guidance. You know, it's very early stages. Right now we are on e-commerce. In next few weeks, all our stores, more than 5,000 of those will start carrying the dry fruits on their shelves. Thereafter, we are going to be reaching out to modern trade and general trade. So at the point of time, it's very, very early days. It's just about, you know, less than 4 weeks since we went live. So this is going to set to grow. Numbers guidance, I don't have right now. We've got ambitious plans. And we will keep you posted as we go forward in the next few quarters.
Okay. In last call, you mentioned you will be expanding into dates in dry fruit range. Is there any updates on that?
I just mentioned to you that, you know, within later part of this quarter or early part of next quarter, the dates and the other products, we will be adding to the portfolio, which will start getting offered to the marketplace. That work is already going on.
Sure. Lastly, do we have any CapEx plans for this year and next year?
Sorry, I didn't get the question. What was that?
Do we have any CapEx plans for this year and next year?
Sorry, do you have any?
CapEx plans?
As I've mentioned, that our CapEx cycle is pretty much between 80 to 100 crores year on year, which is largely in routine maintenance and certain new CapExes that we do in terms of the nurseries or, you know, or certain packing machines or otherwise. There are no large CapEx plans which we have on an immediate basis. But certainly year 4 and 5, we'll have a larger CapEx, which we'll be incurring, but nothing for this year, nothing major this year.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and 1 on your touchtone phone now. The next question is from the line of Kuldeep Gangwar from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Good morning. Can you please share that margin which is being achieved across different segments, like acquired Patanjali with our business, Nutrella, Biscuit, and Nutraceutical?
Yes. So the acquired business, our margin was 14.02%. In the biscuits and confectionery, our margin was 20%. In the Nutrella basket, our margin was 19%. And the base is very small, so percentages don't matter. We were 3 crores negative in nutraceuticals, which on a margin basis is about 21%.
Sure. And what should be, say, expectation for, say, second half, like whether there should be some seasonality expected or it's quite similar to first half in the FMCG part?
So on a percentage terms, Kuldeep, we should do a lot better because, as I mentioned earlier in my call, two parts kind of this, you know, this part of drop of almost close to 100 basis points on an overall basis was led by two parts. One is our expanded sales of staples that we had in the foods category. Largely rice and pulses, etc., which is a large part of demand-led sort of offering that we do. And second was one of the nutraceuticals. Otherwise, we would have been pretty much on course for the guidance that we have for FMCG businesses for between 16 and 18%. We would have been pretty much there. I mean, I don't have the exact maths right now for that, but minus staples and with nutraceutical neutralization, we would be pretty much there.
Okay, and full year basis, nutraceutical should be how much in revenue terms?
So revenue terms, you know, looks like there is we have more work on hand to do. We are still hopeful that we should end the year between 150 to 200 crores, and so which is a bit of rationalization that we've done. But we're pretty much positive that this negative sort of P&L, which is appearing on the lower base of sales for no other reason. I think this we should be able to correct and move forward. So I think on a full year basis, I would anticipate right now that we should be anywhere between 150 to 200 crores.
And edible oil plantation revenue and EBITDA contribution this quarter?
So edible oil on the side of the palm oil, I'm just giving you right, you know, so for example, we have on the palm plantation, we did about our revenue in the second quarter, which is a low season. We have, was about 315 crores. Our EBITDA was 52 crores. And the percentage of margin is 17%.
And last bit, like in the second half, whether it's reasonable to expect that edible oil segment margin should be normal, like the range generally you discuss 2 to 4% margin or say base 3% margin?
So attempt is pretty much that. There are two sort of trends in the marketplace right now. The prices are on an uptick, which tends to benefit us always on the physical market side, as we are seeing more demand, and the supply side is more challenged owing to various reasons. The El Nino effect, what we are likely to witness in Southern America, and that's a peak planting season, I think should be largely helpful. So, for example, our revenue this quarter was 5,421 crores. So my anticipation is that if we keep the same revenue, even though we are expanding, so we should in the next two quarters should have be closer to about between 10,000 and 11,000 crores in terms of the revenue, and margin construct wise, I think we should be significantly better, because I think the worst is behind us. This whole sort of divergence between the futures and the domestic prices. So I think pretty much we should be able to, keeping fingers crossed, we should be able to recover our, what we lost in the first two quarters. And on annualized basis, we should be pretty much either EBITDA neutral to on the positive side. Because, we should be certainly, even if we look at a average range size of, let's say between 2.5% to 3%, I think we should be pretty much be able to recover on the next two quarters what we lost, and should be able to show profits in these two quarters.
Sure, sir. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Best of luck.
Thank you, Vildi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Shah from Ace Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you help me? How is our palm plantation business looking as we speak? And is there any more land that we are looking at to get allocated?
So the palm plantation business is, as you know, it's a sort of, it's a little longer term in nature. We are continuously expanding and moving forward in that. Our growth rates are very decent, and as I mentioned earlier, in this we've added 4,500 hectares afresh. We have signed up with newer people, with the government of Andhra Pradesh, 13 new mandals. So from the access to the availability of land to farm on is quite high. We have set up large number of nurseries now, and both the northeastern part of the country as well as we already had existing nurseries. So we have added a series of sort of nurseries. We have imported nearly 15 lakh sprouts in this quarter. So that is going quite well. And so that part we are pretty confident that, it's an execution-led play now. And so that is what we want to check on. So the whole part is that the progress in the northeastern part and the southern part of the country is quite satisfactory. I'm quite optimistic that we will not only keep pace with the projection that we have made, but we're continuously improving and getting better at that now. So we've set up nearly 75 farmer producer organizations. By adding each of them, we'd have a large number of farmers. So, in terms of ready-made pool of farmers to get access, and start planting our oil palm sprouts and the seedlings, we are very optimistic that this is going to go far, and it is certainly getting a lot better.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Good morning.
Just two questions. In the beginning, the biscuit business has shown a very strong action, and Doodh biscuit has been growing ahead of 25%. Could you share, this is largely a distribution led, or is there is a volume growth also which is picking up on this biscuit?
No, so this growth is obviously you know, volume led, because the price, you know, in the categories of biscuits tends to remain in a tight band. Much more efficient handling of our sort of sourcing of you know, which has shown a very solid margin this quarter. So we've done at both levels. As I mentioned, that we are nearly now reaching 1 million retail outlets. We're expanding distribution to all the, you know, white areas, white spaces where we had lesser coverage, you know, which was not as defined. And the volumes are also sequentially increasing. So we're witnessing two trends on the biscuit side. One is that the market for premium products for our offering is looking positive to good. So that is building, gaining traction. We have series of new launches which are lined up. And the second trend is that the stronger brands like Nariyal and Doodh Biscuit are gaining a lot better traction compared to the other offerings in the marketplace, because the overall category is not expanding at the pace that we are expanding. So the same locations with a better distribution is showing better trend. Newer locations as we are adding are, of course, adding to the volume and the sale. And I expect this trend to pretty much continue, you know, as we go forward into the next two quarters.
Okay. So what I wanted to check with you, this 20.6% growth we have reported YOY, is it safe to assume that two-third will be price and one-third will be volume, or half-half?
So it would be, I would remember say that it will be 50% volume and about 50% on price.
Okay. That's helpful. Second, on the nutraceutical, I wanted to have a little more clarity. You mentioned that there is some more work which you want to do. So what is it that, and when we can see the result? And the other question is that this nutraceutical business going through the similar channel for FMCG, or we have a specialized field force and channels for delivering these products?
No, we have a specialized channel. As you know, that nutraceuticals doesn't go through general trade channels in any case. So there's a lot of, we have this quarter gaining a lot of traction in the e-commerce and B2C. So for example, 21% of our sale is happening through e-commerce channels now, and that is looking very positive. Similarly, we have got dedicated chains, you know, which are doing health products, especially pharmacies and more specialized, you know, the health chains that we have. So it's gaining, except that, you know, the reason part of that, as you said, more work to be done. So it is not so much about distribution. There is a demand, there is a growth that we're witnessing. The point is of fine-tuning our strategies and growth, you know, which is building up. And from a channel perspective, we are also using our AKCK channels also. So, for example, our mega stores, our Arugya Kendras and Chikitsa Kendra, they've also been exceedingly helpful in terms of overall growth that we're witnessing. So my expectation is that, you know, clearly that in terms of work to do, our basically our product range, refinement, you know, continuously responding to the changing market needs and adding different categories, different products. So that work is continuing, and we will grow our distribution, you know, at the same pace as what we've done so far, and take it forward.
Okay, that's helpful. My last question on the margin front, though it is impressive that we have improved the EBITDA margin at 5-5.5% range. Given the volatility into the edible oil, and I think there are a lot of things which most of the players are seeing in terms of hedging and other experiments, Barring apart that part, the rest of the part where we see the input raw material prices are slightly on a negative territory. In fact, milk is also expected to have a deceleration in the second half, and wheat and sugar is also going to look benign. In that context, should we look at reaching 5.8%-6% or we'll remain at 5.5%-5.5% margin? Your qualitative comments on that.
Yeah. See, overall, I think, barring all the points that you mentioned are correct. I think prices, while they look benign, but as slightly one or two deviations are there, especially in the case of wheat, et cetera. The edible oil prices are tending to look, after having gone through the cycle of dropping substantially, they seem to be on an upward tick actually. Two trends will define the profitability. One is that obviously the input sort of prices of raw materials, I think is clearly very critical for us. And in certain areas, like our benefit in the Q2 clearly came because in the biscuit category, we clearly were beneficiaries on account of the lower prices on the edible oils, the sugar prices, the wheat prices, et cetera, which were more in control. I think it'll benefit. I think in terms of the overall uptick, whether we head towards closer to sort of 6.5%, we'll have to wait and see. But broadly, our targets are twofold. One is stabilize our FMCG business portfolio entirely between 16% and 18% range, which is our clear objective. Get edible oils back between 2% and 4% in these two quarters. Hopefully market looks supportive, so I'm quite confident that we should get there. And make sure that we continue our core strategy of expanding our distribution, building up further premiums into the edible oil brands that we have in the marketplace with the new brand ambassador. And work on, more launches on the premium products. So yes, the whole idea is that we want to expand our margin construct by adding newer and more premium categories to the portfolio that we are offering to the consumers.
That's really helpful, sir, and wish you happy Diwali to you and the team.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Palajani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sanjay ji, congratulations on good numbers. I just wanted to know what would be the growth guidance overall in terms of top line and bottom line in current year and coming years. Tentatively, what can we expect?
So, current year, our growth guidance, I just mentioned that, we would like, compared to overall the last quarters, move in the direction of, keep that growth momentum on the FMCG side between around 15% plus growth in revenue terms, margins of between 16 and 18% EBITDA. Edible oils, we did have a challenge in the first two quarters. I'm hoping that we not only recover, but we post positive numbers. And in the next two quarters, if we can hit closer to between 2 and 4% EBITDA margins, we'll be very happy. And in the years to come, it's pretty much the same guidance that, we will, so the growth will come from two sides. One is that new product categories that we add, newer businesses categories that which we might add to our portfolio, and the organic growth that we're witnessing in our business and, wanting to maintain that. So net-net, and if we continue to, over a longer period of time, since you asked that question, that how do we take our EBITDA margin towards the double digit is the core objective over the next 5 years, that we'd like this margin, EBITDA margin, closer to, on a blended basis, closer to 10%, and which is what where the company is, directionally headed.
Okay. Okay, one last question, Sanjiji. Since we know palm oil plantation is a little bit long-term kind of project, by when we can expect that palm oil plantation business will start contributing to our revenues? How much time approximately?
So, incidentally, palm oil plantation actually already supports our revenues quite a bit. So, for example, in the first half of this year, we've done 600 crores in the revenue and, you know, had an EBITDA of nearly 100 crores from that. So palm oil business is a consistent revenue generator. It's almost like an annuity income. Every year, I mean, year before it was 262 crores. Last year, if I remember it right, it was upwards of 220 crores. This year, now we're getting into the peak season. I'm quite optimistic that we should have pretty much similar numbers. So it will take the new plantation that we do. Yes, they have a longish gestation. But the growth in the current plantation and how it is going to yield, you know, income to us, that will continue with the same momentum as we go forward.
So what would be the kind of a growth we can expect in current plantation which has already been done?
So every year, nearly, you know, the 5,000 to 6,000 hectares continue to get added, you know, to the revenue generation because, you know, what we planted 5 years back will start yielding results now. Or 4 years back, we'll start dealing with us now. So typically, the growth rate, the organic growth rate is about 10% year on year. In 5 years' time, in four and a half years' time, you'll see a substantial pick of the new plantation that we're doing. So then the growth momentum will be exponential. And but that is, we'll have to wait for a couple of years before these current plantations that are happening in last year and this year. And from next year, you'll see a huge uptick in the plantation. Because there's a 15-month gestation between getting the sprouts, planting them in the nurseries, giving to the farmers, and after that, the farmer takes about 4 years before the fruits start coming and start yielding results. So we will, so big uptick will happen probably in 4 years' time, but sequential growth of 10% to 12% year on year will continue.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Sanjeevji. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Asthana for his closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much and really appreciate the high-quality questions and thanks for joining us on this call. We have a lot of ambitious plans for the company to continue the growth momentum that we've witnessed. The market keeps throwing its own challenges. And the effort is that how do we neutralize those challenges? How do we make our business more consistent? How do we bring more predictability to certain areas? One or two areas we still need to deal with and work through in the FMCG space. Edible oil, as everyone knows and is witnessing, that while it's a challenging place, but I want to just repeat again that it's an attractive business. From two filters. One is, there is a growth momentum in the country. There is some consolidation that we're witnessing, which is going on for nearly last 2 years now. And the consolidation will tend to benefit the larger players, who both have the wherewithal to deal with the volatility, have the working capital, the financial strength to deal with the working capital requirement, and above all are able to build up a distribution and the brand reach. So that is what continues, and I'm reasonably confident that in the coming months you will hear, more premium launches, newer product categories getting added, to our portfolio, and there should be a good momentum and in the overall business. And I wish to greet and wish you all a very happy Diwali to you and your families, very happy trading, happy year, new year ahead. And with this, I would like to close my remarks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members of the management. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Patanjali Foods Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.